Today we're on Baba Batra Kaftet, a special shiur in memory of the yahrzeit of Hannah Bat Avraham Batara, Vera Greenwald, Shari's mom. Okay, we are in the beginning of Chezkat HaBatim. What we learned yesterday was that if one lives in a field for 3 years without the original owner complaining, the assumption is he doesn't have a shtar that shows that he bought the property. Assuming he's willing to make a claim, I bought this land. Okay, well, let's backtrack for 1 minute. The person who owned the land previously, which is what we'll call right now the last person who has proof that he actually owned the land, brings his document saying, I own the land, get off my property. And the other person says, but I've been living here 3 years, you haven't complained, and I bought it from you. So what are you doing here? So if, as long as he says, I purchased it from you, or you gave it to me as a gift, and he can prove that he was living there for 3 years, or as we saw in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yishmael said, there's certain cases where you only need 3 cycles of, let's say, 3 harvests. Okay, you harvest the grapes and the olives and the figs. That's also sufficient. So we saw all different things. Then we said, okay, why? Right, then there was maybe you don't need 3 full years, depending on what kind of field it is, maybe 3 years, 1 middle year, and 2 months on either side, or 3 months on either side, or 1 month on either side. Then what the Gemara wanted to establish from the very beginning was, where do we get this idea of chazakah of 3 years, that 3 years is going to be sufficient for something? So the first option we had, which we then attributed to Rabbi Yishmael's opinion, it was attributed in the beginning from the Holchei Usha, was that we learned it from Shur HaMu'ad. At the end, the Gemara a little bit had some questions on it and only worked according to Rabbi Yishmael's opinion, who said that you could have 3 types of harvests and not necessarily that you needed 3 years. And that was the comparison to Shur HaMu'ad. We ended yesterday, and we'll restart there. Okay, we'll go back a little bit just to review. So that works according to Rabbi Yishmael. What about according to Rabbanan? So our first proof for chazakah of 3 years on lamb works is from Shur Mu'ad. So Rabbi Yosef says, okay, the fourth line from the bottom on Kaf Chedem Aben, L'Rabbanan Mai. So if our first answer is Shur Mu'ad, but we had a bit of a problem with it, so now let's try another answer. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Kraktiv, Sado Bekesef Yiknu, Uchto V'Sefer V'Chatom, Sharei Navi Ome Be'eser, U'Mashir Al-Chatisrei. Remember in Yirmiyahu, we told people, go out and buy land, because you're going to have destruction next year. The Churban's going to come. I want you to buy the land and make sure you write documents about it. So what happened? They claim this happened in the 10th year of Tzidkiyahu, and the 11th year already was going to be the Churban. They were only going to have lived in the land for 2 years, and that's why he said, you better get a shtar, because you won't have 3 years of living on the land, in which case, if you don't have a shtar, no one's going to accept your testimony. You know, having lived there 2 years doesn't do anything, which teaches you what? It's a very strange proof. 3 years must be sufficient. So Amar Le Abaye says, what are you talking about? Dilma Hatam, Eitza Tova Kamashmalan. He was just saying, I recommend to you that you get a shtar, not that you have to, not that it teaches you anything about whether living on property for 2 years or 3 years or any of that will be sufficient proof. De'ilo temahachi, and here's his further proof why it must be that it's really just etza tova, because banu batim ushvu v'natu ganot v'ichlu et piryan. My kamar, when he says to him, build houses and go and plant gardens and eat the fruits of what you plant, do you think that was a chiyuv hilchati? Of course not. He was just giving them some advice. Hachanami, therefore, also here, you can say that the pasuk before was also Etza tova kamashman. And further proof, teida dechtiv unitatem b'kli cheres leman yamdu yamim rabim. He said, put these into earthenware jugs so that you will preserve your shtarot for the long term. That's also, no one ever says, there's a halacha, you have to preserve your shtarot in an earthenware jug, although one could claim maybe you could see maybe some point in halacha they would come up with such a concept, but no, that's not a halacha. It's also etza tova, and therefore that must be etza tova. So second attempt of a proof from Yirmiyahu doesn't really work. So Ella Amar Rava. Now what we're going to have here is Rava is going to suggest, we're going to reject it. He's going to suggest another way of doing it. We're going to reject it. And then he's going to finally come up with his third answer. They're all somewhat similar. Ella Amar Rava. It must be like this. It's not a proof from Shor Muad of the Torah. It's interesting the way the proofs go here. It's not a proof from the Nevi'im of Yirmiyahu. In the end, it's going to be a proof that he claims is logical. Okay, it just has to do with the way people do business things. So, Shata Kamaita Machil Inish, Tarta Machil, Tla Lo Machil. If someone's sitting in your house, okay, someone takes over your property or your field or something like that, and you happen to notice. So maybe the first year you'll say, I'm mochel, it's okay. I'm obviously not living there. I don't need it. I have lots of other properties. So you're living in my property for a year, I'll let it go. The second year, tarte, the second year, machil. You can also assume someone will be mochel and say, fine, you'll live another year on my property. But tlat, already once we get to 3 years, someone's been living in my property, lo machil. Okay, this is very common, by the way, right? Shlosha pamim glida, and we say in Hebrew, right, three times is a chazaka. Nothing is considered too serious until it happens three times. So if someone's living there 1 year, 2 years, whatever, you can let it go. But the third year already, you're going to say, okay, new, by the way, just don't forget, this is my property, please get off of it. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, wait a minute, if that's your logic, now notice the words that Rav is using. Rav uses very strong words, machil. What does machil mean? He's mochel. That means what? If you're living in my field for a whole year, and I am mochel, what does that mean? The fruits that you ate? My mochel? Yeah, if I'm mochel, I'm mochel. That means all the fruits you ate of that year, you can keep. They're yours. I obviously didn't care. So comes Abaye, he says, well, Rava, according to what you're saying, it negates the halacha that we know to be true. Because, let's read inside, Ela me'ata ki hadra ara tehadra levar mi peri. If you're going to assume that the first 2 years it was mechila, then when we return the land in the third year, when I come and say, hey, look, you've been living on my property for 3 years, you know, for 2 years already, it's time to go. What do you have to do? You have to return to me the land, but you don't have to return to me all the produce that you ate because I was obviously mochel on them, according to Rav's logic. But if that's the case, alama amar Rav Nachman, why does Rav Nachman say that the halacha is hadra ara v'hadra peri? Rav Nachman says that if I kick you off my land after 2 years of living there and I say, what are you doing in my land? Not only do I get my land back, I get all the produce that you ate, you have to pay me back. So if you have to pay me back, then obviously what Rav says is not true. There really isn't mechila here. So therefore, Rav's answer is rejected and Rav has to come up with a better answer. Ela Amar Rav, Shata Kamaita, the first year, Lo Kapid Inish. It's not that he's not mochel. It's not that he's mochel the first year. It's that he's not makpid. In other words, there's a difference between mechila and not makpid. They're similar. But mochel means I'm letting you and I have no problem with it. Kapid, lo kapid means it's not worth it enough for me to start kicking you out. But it doesn't mean that I'm mochel on everything you ate. It means that eventually when I get up the energy and the time to go kick you off my land, I'm obviously going to demand all my fruits back. I'm going to say, okay, you were sitting there, fine, I let it go. But I didn't let it go to the extent that I'm saying, oh, well, it's a free-for-all, take whatever you want. I let it go, meaning I just didn't deal with it yet. I didn't bother to get you off the land. But obviously when I do finally bother to get you off the land, I'm going to want to get all my fruits back. Okay, so that's why he says this is how it works. Shata kamaita lo kapidinish. Tarte lo kapid, right? 1 year, he might not be makpid to kick people off. The second year, he also won't be so careful to get people off. But tlat, after three, again, it's the same concept of the three, by the third year, for sure, he's going to be kapid, okay? And kick the guy off. But now we have another problem. Kapid is very, what would you say? Subjective, right? Some people might get very angry if you just walk on their path, right? Other people might not care if you live in their field for a year. Okay, so there's a big difference. So what does the Gemara say? Abaye again questions Rav and says, Amar le Abaye ela me'ata kigon hani debar be el yashuv. What about the family that we know, the sons of el yashuv? Okay, what's unique about the sons of el yashuv? Dekapte afilu aman dechalif ametzri didhu. They get angry even if someone just, you know, trespasses on their border, okay, right by the edge of their field, they go nuts, they go crazy, okay? So what are you going to say? Let's say somebody goes into Bar Be'el Yashuv's property and sits there for 5 minutes. Are we going to say that if the family of El Yashuv doesn't complain, then that means
that the guy, again, if it's all based on kapid, low kapid, if Bar Be'al Yashav, who were always kapid on everything, and in this case they didn't, then that can that guy who sat on his property for 5 minutes say, hey, look, they didn't complain. That must mean they obviously don't care and the property's mine. So what does he say? So he says, Hachanami del Altar Habi Chazaka, are you going to say that immediately then you can create a Chazaka here and say this land is mine? Because look, nobody complained. And these guys complained about every little thing. So if they're not complaining, proof that he didn't care and that he's that the land is mine. V'chite mahachanami. And if you want to say, yeah, we would distinguish between Barba or Yashiv and the rest of the world. In other words, it depends. It's subjective. If we say it's subjective, what's going to be the problem? Im kein, natata derecha l'shiurin. It's a very famous line. What does that mean? Once you say things are subjective, right, you can't have a halachic system where everything's subjective. How are you going to know? You're going to have to determine based on every single person. It's going to be a different amount. For me, it'll be maybe I'm makpid after 10 days. And someone else might be makpid after 2 years and 10 days. And someone else might be makpid after 5 years. And you can't have a halachic system like that. That's the whole reason why they tried to standardize halacha. So they said that can't possibly be the answer. So Rava tried to say, first it was mechila, right, that one might be mochel for 2 years, but not three. Then he tried to say one might be low kapi, he might not be machpi for 2 years. But we said that also doesn't work because that's too subjective a term. So now we get to the third one. Ela amar Rava, and this we already kind of explained from the very beginning, because this is the answer of Rava that sticks. Shata kamaita mizdeher inish bishtare, tarte utlat mizdeher, sorry, Shatka maita mizir inish bishtare, tarte, I'm trying to figure out how to read the shatka maita mizir, right? The first year, people will be careful about their shtar, and also tarte the second year, vitzlat mizdeher tfei lo mizdeher. Am I reading this right? Something sounds weird about it.
2 or 3 years he's careful with it.
2 or 3 years he's careful, but yeah, the third year already he's not supposed to be.
But longer than that.
Aha, uh-huh, I see. Tarte utlat mizdeher. 2 or 3 years he'll be careful, but tfei lo mizdeher. I guess it means after the third year, basically, right? So, in other words, for 3 years you can assume people will keep their shtarot, but after the third year, people don't keep their documents anymore. This is what we talked about the other day, about keeping your documents for 7 years. By Israeli law, that's what you have to do. Keep documentation for 7 years. After that, we can assume you've thrown things out. Okay, so now, basically, what are we going to say here? Since people aren't going to want to save, people don't generally save their shtarot for more than 3 years, what are we going to assume? That he must have had a shtar, and he doesn't have it anymore. Okay, and therefore, it's not a matter of kapid or machil, although one could claim that there's some sort of interrelationship between the two. That it's all connected, these ideas. In other words, again, it obviously has to do with the owner protesting or not protesting also. It's a sort of a combination. So, but what are we going to say? What makes the third year so much more different? It's that at that point, we can't assume that people keep their documents anymore. And if people can't keep their documents anymore, then we can assume that he actually purchased the land. He just doesn't have a shtar to show for it. Okay? So that's our answer. So now we're going to have a further question. Abaye is really being a nudnik to Rava today. Amar le Abaye, ela me'ata mecha'a shelo b'fanav, lo tahavi mecha'a. Da amar le, imachit ba'apai, hava mizdehirne b'shtare. What's the idea here? The idea is, how does this, I told you, it still has to work in with the mecha'a, the protest of the owner. Because how does this work? We've talked about. You can have a chazaka 3 years on the land if the owner hasn't complained at all. But if he lodges a complaint, then your 3 years don't count. Why? How does this work in with the shtar? Comes a bai, he says, I don't understand what you're saying. According to what you're saying, a complaint would only work if he complained directly to the owner. Because what how does the complaint work in with keeping the shtar for 3 years? If I'm living on land, and I know, let's take our law, that's 7 years. I only have to keep my documents 7 years. But let's say I'm in the middle of an audit. The Mas Hachnasa has audited me, and I'm in the middle of showing them all my documentation, and they backtrack to 7 years, but the audit takes, let's say, 2 years, and I start throwing out my stuff from 6 years ago, 7 years ago, because I say, well, it's not 7 years. Obviously, I'd be an idiot to do that. They're already auditing me. I'm obviously going to have to keep my documents, even though it's been 9 years already. So likewise here, even though the assumption is I only have to keep my shtar for 3 years, if someone's been complaining and saying, hey, you don't own that land, I'm obviously going to keep my shtar for more than 3 years. If that's the case, then the protest has to be lodged directly to me. Because if it's not lodged directly to me, how am I going to know that there's a protest? And we know that the halacha is that he doesn't need to protest to the person directly. If the owner goes to court and complains, that's sufficient. Or if he goes to his friend and complains, says, I can't believe this person's been living in my land, that's enough. So why is that? This already we learned the answer yesterday. But Abai right now raises the question. So let's just read it again inside. Protest not directly to the face of the person living in the property shouldn't work. Because he can say, the person living in the land, let's say me, I'm living there for 3 years already, I could say, had you protested directly to me, I would have been much more careful to keep my shtar, but I didn't even know that you were protesting. So what's the answer? Like we saw yesterday, Da'amar Lei, the original owner, could claim, Chavercha Chavri Ilei, V'chaver Da'chavercha Chavri Ilei. Word of mouth. Word passes around from person to person. The fact that I mentioned to my neighbor, it's clear, it's so interesting, right, that they claim this is obvious that word will eventually get to you, and then even a Mecha'a Shalom B'fanav is considered as if it was B'fanav. We can assume for sure that the person living on the land would have heard about it. So that's not a question. So finally, Rava has an answer to Abai's question, and he's left with that answer. Now we're going to talk about what's the makeup of these 3 years. Can it be 3 years not in a row? Can it be 3 years of just day, not night? How does it work? So comes Rav Huna, and he says, I'm Rav Huna. Shalosh shanim shamru hu sha'achlan ritzufot. You have to eat them. You have to eat, meaning reap the produce of the land, work the land for 3 years straight. You can't have year one, year three, year five. That doesn't count. Okay? It has to be 3 years straight. Then the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Why are you saying this, Rav Huna? My kamashmalan, Tanina, we already learned this in the Mishnah. Why are you telling us, Rav Huna, something that the Mishnah already said? There would be no chidush. Why? What does it say in our Mishnah? Chez katan shalosh shani miyom liyom. It said, you need a chazaka shalosh shani miyom liyom. What does that sound like? Miyom liyom sounds like every single day, 3 years in a row. Mao detema, so now they say no. Rav Huna still had to say so, because you might have read the Mishnah and thought something else. Mao detema, you might have thought miyom liyom is lafuke mikutaot. Ula olam afilu mefuzarot. Right, you might have thought that miyom liyom means to get rid of mikutaot, like not full years. Ula olam afilu mefuzarot, kamashmalan. This is right. You might have thought that it just means you have to have. How do we explain the Yom Liyom? We read the Mishnah that they have to be full, meaning 12 months, not like there were other pins in the Mishnah. Right? There were other cases in the Mishnah where it said 2 months on one side or 3 months on one side, 1 month on one side. So you might have thought it meant mikutaot, and therefore, but you might have thought that afilu mefuzarot, as long as you have 12-month periods, even if they're not ratzuf, right? And that yom liyom means a 12-month period, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be 3 12-month periods in a row. It could have been a 12-month period, break, 12-month period, break, 12-month period. So, therefore, Rav Huna comes to teach you, no, they have to be in a row.
12 months, not, if there's a leap year, it's the 13th month, so it would be...
So a year would be year, including a leap year. Yeah, it could be a 13. Exactly. That's what it means, yeah. Thank you for correcting. And obviously, right, in a leap year, it's going to have to be 13 months. By the way, I forgot to mention, you have to look at the page, those who have the actual Gemara in front of you, there's something very important that happens on this page that I forgot to point out, which is, in the middle of the page, in Rashi, toward the top, it says, Ad kam perush Rashi zatzal. Okay? This happens twice in Shas, here and in the 10th parak of Psachim. And if you look in the note on the side in the Masoret Ashas, Bitfus Pizarro, there's a little dollar there at the top right. Yeah. At least in mine, it's at the top right. Bitfus Pizarro, Hanusach Kan Meit Rashi. Okay? And that's what it says in, if I remember correctly, that's what it says in Psachim. It's Rashi didn't finish his commentary on Shas. He was very close.
He ended here in Bava Batra and the 10th parak in Pesachim, which shows he was working at the same time in both. And it's like a sad page, right? Kamnate Rashi, right over here. And from here on, everything that looks like Rashi is not Rashi. It's the Rashbam, his grandson. Okay, he takes over the Perush, also in Pesachim. In Pesachim, he even appears in the where Rashi also appears. He appears throughout the Masechet. He has a Perush, and Rashi has a Perush, and then at a certain point, Rashi dies, and it's just him. So yeah, it's a sad page. Okay. So Amar Rav Chama. Okay, now Rav Chama is going to modify Rav Huna. Rav Huna said that it has to be in a row, 3 years in a row. So now comes Rav Chama and he says, "Umodi Rav Huna ba'atre de movre bage." What does that mean? Movre. We saw this before. If you remember the famous case of Asmachta, im ovir velo avir ashalim b'meitva. I came up in the Asmachta to give it. If I take upon me to work your land as a sharecropper and I don't do anything, that's what movir is, and I just don't work the land, then I'll pay you back with the best of my land. That's what was the commitment the guy said. So here, movre means the same thing. It means moda Rav Huna that in a place where they let the land go fallow for a year. And so there were places where they would work the land 1 year and then let it rest, and then work the land 1 year and let it rest. So if that's the case, now what's going to happen? How are you going to create a chazaka? Because you're not going to work the land 3 years in a row, because nobody works the land 3 years in a row. So in that case, Moda Rav Huna, it doesn't have to be Ratzuf, because you're the second year you're doing what everybody else does, which is you're not working the land. So you would need 6 years, basically. In other words, assuming that every other year you let it lay fallow. Pshita. So then they say, what do you mean? It's obvious that would be the case. What is Rav Chama even, what's his chidush? So again, what do we answer? Lo tzricha de'ika de'mover, de'ika de'lo mover. It's a place where some people work the land every year and some people take breaks. It's not like the whole city does the same thing. The high gavra movra, and this guy decided not to use the land. So we don't know whether I really own the land or not, but I've been there for a year. I don't work at the second year. I work at the third year. I don't work at the fourth year. Okay? And some people take breaks in my community and some people don't. Mao de tema. Now, according to the way most of the freshmen explain this, the case is where this guy was surrounded by fields where everybody was taking a break for the year. However, in the general vicinity, there were different minhagim. So Mao de tema, you might have thought that Amarle, the owner, could say, the original owner, Im ita dididach havai ibai lach lemizre. If this was really yours, then you should have planted it. Kamash malan, therefore, he comes to tell us, Rav Chama, that Rav Huna would agree here that the person who's living in the land and not working it every other year can claim like this. De Amarle, chada ara bekule baga lo matzina lintar. Okay, lintar means to watch. We've seen this word before. Natira is shmira. What he's saying is, generally, people would share shomrim. It was a way to save money. So what are we going to do? During the planting season, that's when you need them watched. If I'm not planting that year, then I don't need anyone to watch my field. So this guy claims, I'm surrounded by fields where everybody's taking a break for the year. There's no way I'm going to hire a shomer just for my field. I'm only going to hire a shomer if everybody else is, and I'll chip in with them. So he says it wasn't, right? So Bekule, right, I'm not going to be the chada'ara, the one land, Bekule baga, lomatzina linter. I'm not going to find a shomer to be willing, for the price that I can afford, to watch my property, and therefore I didn't work it. So he can claim that's why I didn't work it, in which case Rav Huna would agree what? That it doesn't need to be ratzuf. Okay, he can take breaks. The second thing he could claim is, v'inami b'hachi nichali da'avda tfei. He can claim that it's better for my land if I give it a break. In other words, while some people might give their land a break and some people might not, again, people thought that agriculturally it was smarter to let the land lie fallow for a year. And he said, look, it was in my best interest. This is my land. I want to grow it the best way possible. It was better for me to do it this way. Okay, now some of the Mefreshim say here that this is only in a case where either one or both of those arguments are true. Because it could be that it could be proven that the land, it actually isn't good for the land. Or you could say maybe this guy is surrounded by people who have a shomer and that can't be a claim. And if that were the case, then Rav Huna wouldn't agree in this case. Then he would have a different argument. So you'd have to have one or maybe even both, I think some of the Mefreshim say, of these two arguments. Okay, now we're going to have a question on Rav Huna. So again, Rav Huna says, remember, they need to be ritzufot. Okay, they need to be straight for 3 years straight without any breaks. So now they're going to question it from our Mishnah. Tanan, Okay. Chezkana batim. What did it say in our Mishnah? Chezkana batim, it listed all sorts of things. The merchatzaot, right? All sorts of things. Now, what's unique about a bayit? V'ha batim debiyamama yade belelya lo yade. If I take over someone's property, okay, and we don't know, again, whether I actually bought it or I just kind of walked into someone's empty lot and started living there. When are we going to have witnesses? During the day when people can see. But at night when it's dark, there's no witnesses. So basically, I can bring witnesses that I live there during the day for 3 years, but I can't bring witnesses that I live there at night, and houses are made for use during the day and the night. So if I can't bring proof for the nighttime, then that would be not 3 shanim ritzufot. Okay, one can argue with this, and the Gemara is going to kind of give examples why this isn't the case. But anyway, that's the Gemara's question.
So this is someone who only lives in it at night?
No, he can only bring proof that he lived there during the day, because who's going to see him at night? It's dark. Okay. Who can? What agent are walking around town looking into his house and saying, oh, I see someone's living there?
I would think the exact opposite. Yeah. The lights are on at night.
Yeah. Right, you could see. So yeah, but I think, first of all, I think people generally went to sleep soon after sundown. Mm-hmm. I think that was, you know, they woke up early in the morning to work. They basically, they ate their food and went to bed.
This is how they're trying to prove Yom Yom, really day to day.
Well, they're talking about the Ratzuf. In other words, what is Ratzuf? Ratzuf means to be continual, right? Even at night. So Amar Abaye says, what are you talking about? Ma Masir Abatim. Who testifies about people living in houses? In other words, in fields, remember, the fields were outside the cities. So there, you know, it was a matter of all sorts of random people testifying. I saw this guy working his field, etc. In houses, who's going to testify that you're living in your house? Your neighbors. Well, guess what? Your neighbors, it's like what people said, there's a light on your house. People are going to see that your neighbors are going to know. Shivava meida yade. The neighbors know. Biyamama ubalelya, right? They'll notice that you leave the house every day at sunset, right? Then they'll know that you're not living there at night. But if they don't see you leaving your house, then they're going to assume that you're still in the house, right? Neighbors, we all know this, right? You know half the time what's going on with your neighbor. You see them coming in, you see them going out. Okay, so neighbors are going to know whether someone's living there or not. Rava gives another explanation. Rava Amar, Kigon de Atu Beitre, Va'amre, Anan Agrinan Mine, Vidrinan Beit Lachnim, Biyamama Ubalelya. Here's another great proof. Just because you claim I own a house doesn't mean that you're living in the house. Many people own houses and rent them out. So it could be that the witnesses that this person brings are witnesses, right? This is very relevant, right? You have houses, you rent them out. The witnesses that they bring are what? They're witnesses who say, it's not saying, I saw you living there for 3 years. Witnesses come and testify in court. Let's say, okay, I rent out houses. So I rent out a house to two of you. You guys go to court and say, hey, we've been living in this house during the day and during the night. And we rented it from me. So, right, you basically say, we know that Michelle's the owner because we rented from her. That's proof. That's witnesses. So there, you don't need witnesses that saw them living there at night. They themselves are testifying that we live there during the day and during the night, which means that I owned it this entire time. Okay, sounds like a good proof? Well, it's not a great proof because what? Amar le Rav Yemer le Rav Ashi. Rav Yemer says to Rav Ashi, hey, what Rav said doesn't make a lot of sense because Hane nogim be'edutan he. These guys are nogeh be'edutan, right? They are, how do you translate that in English?
They have their
own self-interest. What's their self-interest? They've been paying me rent for 3 years. If it turns out that I wasn't the guy who owned the house, they're going to have to now pay rent to the other guys and try to get the money back from me. Good luck to them.
So you can rent out a house that you don't own. So you're saying the person who rented out...
Again, the whole question is, remember, I'm the person who claims I own the land. Do I own it or don't I own it? We don't know the truth, right? That's what we're trying to establish. Did I purchase the land? Or, remember, there's no proof of purchase. I don't have a tabu. I don't have a document. Because it's been 3 years and I didn't save my documents anymore.
So this is almost third hand.
So we don't know, did I really purchase this? Am I telling the truth? Or do we go by the last person who has proof of purchase, which is the original owner who happened to have kept his contract, and he's got the contract that says I own the land. And it's his word versus mine. However, I have a chazaka of 3 years and he hasn't complained. Okay? The question is, in this case, do I have a chazaka of 3 full years? Because maybe I only used it during the day and I left every night. And maybe the guy only came home at night and he never even knew I was in his house.
But you could rent out land without proof of purchase.
Well, again, maybe I rented out in the beginning. The assumption is I had a document at the time, but now I no longer do because it's been 3 years and no one's complained. Why did I think I need to save my documentation? Right? Imagine somebody comes to you and says, your house is not really your house. Go prove it. And you can't find your tabu or your contract or whatever it might be. It's hard to imagine in this day and age because everybody makes sure. It's not so hard. Okay. It's not so hard to imagine. Well, also, there's a land registry. So, yeah. But there are many people who don't register in the land registry. I mean, there's all sorts of... Right. So that's what's going on here. It's just a debate. So the question is, do we believe these witnesses who come and say, well, I rented from her for 3 years. It must be her house. Right? And I live there day and night. So now we have Ratzuv. Right? But what does he say? There are no Gimbei Azutan. De'ilo Amre Hachi. If they don't say this, then Zilu Havile Agarbeite Lahai. They're going to have to pay rent now. 3 years of rent to the other guy who claims that the house is really his. So Amar Le, they say, no. Wait a minute. Dayane deshvile hache dayane. This is a great line, right? Low life dayanim would judge a case like this. Obviously, this isn't the case where the details weren't like this. This must be the details. Milo askinan kigon de nikite agrabeta va'amre laman litve. The case is not that they already paid me 3 years of rent and now they're worried they're going to have to pay another 3 years to somebody else. No, the case is where they come to court, they don't know who to pay. But they think they're supposed to pay me. They haven't paid me my rent yet, okay? This probably also happens, right? Where people don't pay rent for 3 years, okay? So they basically don't know who to pay rent to, and they say, well, we thought it was Michelle. We've been living here for 3 years. She rented it out to us, right? But they haven't yet paid the money.
So they have a chazaka for 3 years of being on someone else's land who has a chazaka for being on it for 3 years.
Well, it's the same 3 years. It's that I bought a house. I didn't ever live in it.
Okay.
I rented it out to you. You've been living here for 3 years. You might not have paid me rent, but you rented it for me.
Okay?
We had an agreement that you were going to rent it for me. And you lived there for 3 years. So the proof is that you've been living there for 3 years. However, you say that I rented it for Michelle. So you don't try to prove that it's yours. You say I rented it for Michelle. But then the court's trying to figure out, right? So then they accept your testimony to say they rented for me because you're not nogeya be'edut because you don't care whether you pay me or you pay somebody else. It's just a matter of who do you pay.
Didn't we have something a while back that people paid their rent?
Yafeh. That's very good, Judy. So Judy's pointing out that there's something we learned, the ain schirut ela levasof. You usually pay your rent at the end. So, however, I think we saw that like they would pay maybe at the end of every year. I think there was something about that. But maybe you could see that someone wouldn't pay rent for 3 years, but it's quite strange. I have to think it's quite strange to go 3 years without paying at all. Amar Rav Sutra, the itain va'amar leitu tre sade las hudede didar beit slachne biyamama ubelelya ta'ante ta'ana. Rav Sutra comes and says like this. In the end, he thinks that you don't really have to prove that you live there in the day and the night. It's enough to just say the day. That's sufficient. However, if I'm in a case where it's, let's say, me and Deb arguing, I've been living here for 3 years, and Deb comes and says, it's my property, what are you talking about? I own this property. And I say, well, I can bring witnesses. And you say, but I insist that you bring witnesses that prove that you live there both during the day and in the night, then your ta'ana is a ta'ana. That's what it is, ta'ante ta'ana. Your ta'ana is a good ta'ana, and I have to prove both day and night. So if you don't ask me for it, day is sufficient. But if you do ask me for it, then I have to show both. However, mode marzutra beruchlin hamechazrim ba'ayarot. Da'afa, do you remember these guys? These are the people who sell the jewelry to the women and the perfume, and they come from town to town. Okay, there's a debate, actually. It's very interesting. Here, I'll just finish the line, and then I'll say what the debate is. Ruchlin hamechazrim ba'ayarot. Da'afa gav de'lo ta'an ta'anin alei. That even though they don't demand, that the other person doesn't demand that they say, I've been there day and night, the court can demand that they say day and night. Okay, they have to bring proof for day and night. Now the question is, who are the rochlim? Are they the ones who've been living there for 3 years? Or are they the ones who claim it's their property and that someone's been living in their property? It makes a lot more sense to say it's their property because what's the deal with the rochlim? They're out of town all the time. So they say, we go out during the day, we come home only at night. So if you bring us proof that you live there during the day and we didn't protest, That's useless testimony because we didn't even know that you were there, right? We were never there during the day. We always come home at night, and we've never seen you at night, so you better bring us proof that you were there also at night. Otherwise, it's useless proof. Okay, we'll stick with that interpretation, even though you could also go the flip way. But for purposes of time, I'm going to go with one. So therefore, apagav delo ta'an ta'anina le'anan. Okay, we make the claim for him. In other words, we basically say you have to prove day and night. We could be the court. Okay. Umoja Rapuna Bechanuta de Mechoza. Now we get into the stores in Mechoza were different. To the Yamama Avida, Lalelia Lo Avida. Let's say you're talking about a property in the industrial zone, right? In the industrial zone, there's only life during the day. There's no life at night. Nobody lives there at night. That's like the Chanuyot of Mechoza. So therefore, in that case, right, even Rapuna who says you need Ratsuf and you might need day and night, you only need day because it's only property that's used during the day. Okay, so here we start to see all sorts of distinctions about different types of property and where it would fall. Rami Bar Chama, Rav Ukva Bar Chama, Zavin Hahu Amta Bahade Hadade. They bought a slave woman together, okay, to share. Marish Damish Be Rishonash Lishit V'chamishit. Umarish Damish Be Shnia Revi'it V'shishit. This sounds to me like a unity government, right? Yeah. They switch up. Okay, there they don't do it like this, though, right? They do two and two, right? Which is obviously a bad plan because usually the government falls by the time they get to the second guy, right? This might be a smarter way to do it. One, three, and five. So anyway, the one guy uses it for 1 year, third year, and fifth year, and the other guy uses it second year, fourth year, and sixth year. So Napik Ir Ilave, some guy comes and says, hey, this is my slave woman. I don't know why you guys are using her, but belongs to me. Here's my shtar to prove it. Atala Kameja Rava, they came before Rava to say, what do we do? Amar Lahu, my taima avditu hachi, why did you guys decide to split it every other year? Here's an interesting assumption he makes. Why did they do it? Because if the first guy would have used it for 3 years straight, the second guy would have had trouble proving that the shifcha belongs to him also. Okay? The whole reason you did it was to prevent a chazaka from being created so that you don't have an issue between the two of you. But you're basically, right? It's now going to your detriment because you're now messed up also, klape kol ha'olam, because you really didn't develop a chazak. But this is only lo amaran ela delo katuv itra. That's in the case where they don't have, okay, this gets back to also all sorts of land things, right? They don't have a partnership agreement. But if they had written down a partnership contract of a katuv itra, where we said we're each sharing, kale itle, once you have a contract, word gets around. This is like the chaver de chaver, right? Word travels. And therefore, you can assume that even though each, if they have a partner contract, then after 3 years of each time of one of the partners using it, 3 years is sufficient, that's considered ratzuf. Okay. Amarava. Achla kula chutz mi beit rova. Let's say you take this piece of land, let's assume this table is a piece of land. I work this piece of land for 3 years, okay? Nobody complains. But I leave over, right where this eraser is, I leave over this part and I don't touch this part of the land. Okay, so I worked the entire land except for one corner, okay, which is a beit rova. Rova is a quarter of a kav, which is a sixth, if I get it right, a sixth of a se'ah. And a beit se'ah is, and I had all the numbers before, a beit se'ah is 2,500 amot, square amot, and a rova hakav is 104 square amot. So it's a very small, it's not a small area. But I've left over some area that I didn't plant there at all. It's not teeny, but compared to the whole field, it's small. Amar Afuna Bered Rav Yoshua. Oh, sorry. Achla kula chutz mi beit rova. Kana kula chutz mi beit rova. Okay? I'm kona everything except for this corner because I didn't work it. So I could say I've been living here 3 years working the land, but I didn't work this area. So I don't get to keep that area. Amar Afuna Bered Rav Yoshua. V'lo amaran ela debar zriyahi. Avalav barzriyahi kanele agav ara. That's only if this land that I left over was fit to be planted. And I didn't plant it. That shows I obviously never owned it. As when I bought it, right, sometimes people sell property, but they leave over a certain area. Maybe they're used to traveling through that area. They want to use it as a path. So they didn't sell me that part. But if, obviously, again, I don't have a contract that says exactly what they sold me. But if it's not plantable area, and I didn't plant it, well, then you can assume what? That this area is batel, it gets canceled out, it's viewed as basically one whole field. Because the reason I didn't plant it was because it's not plantable. Okay? So therefore, what else was I supposed to do there to show I owned it? Okay? So therefore, we assume, if that's the case, if it's lav bar zriya, then kanele agav ara. It's acquired to you based on, like, from the rest of the land. Kinyan agav. We've learned this before, that if you acquire land, you acquire other things with it. Matipla rabibi bar baye, ela me'ata. According to what you're saying, though, tsuma b'men yikneh. There is no way to make a kinyan on land. You're basically saying that since this land is not plantable, there's no way to make a kinyan on it, so we're just going to say your kinyan on everything else counts for that too. What if I buy a plot that's all unplantable land? What, I can't have a kinyan on it? Ella, how can I? Of course I can have a kinyan on it. Be'ukma be'chiyuta, I can put animals to run around there. Umishtacha bapere, or I can put fruits to dry there. And that would be a way of making a kinyan. So why don't you say here, hachanami, baile le'ukma b'chiyuta, inami mishtacha bapere. You have to show some use of this land. You have to put fruits to dry, you have to put your animals there, some use of this land within the 3 years to show that, or, you know, each year of the 3 years, to show a kinyan on it. So basically there's two different opinions here. The Gemara basically rejects the first reading that you can buy this kinyan agav ara. By the way, we learned kinyan agav ara, we learned that you're not acquiring land based on land, you're acquiring other things agav ara. But anyway, so now he's saying, the Gemara rejects this and says it's not a good case. Okay, last case for today. By the way, the rest of the next few dapim are going to be all cases. Okay, as you can see, this was something which makes sense, was very common, all of these issues regarding whose land belongs to. So we're going to have a lot of cases. Hahuda amar le lechavre. A guy comes over to his friend. Again, you know, I don't know if it was really his friend. My baya b'hai beta. What are you doing in this house, right? It's mine. Amarle, minach zavinte. What are you talking about? I bought it from you. V'achil shnei chazaka, and I've been eating the produce for 3 years. Amarle, ana b'shchune gavai havai. Now, the question is, right, in order for the original owner to say, it's mine, what does he have to prove? Either I protested, or something prevented me from protesting, okay? Now, there's two ways to understand this. Some people say b'shchune gavai havai means I was living in the inner house and you were living in the outer house. Okay, it was a property with, you know, where he sold off part of it, or at least the guy claims he sold him part of it. And every day, the guy living on the inside, who's the original owner, passes through the other guy's property. And he says to himself, wasn't that as much of a protest as possible? The fact that I pass through your land every day, doesn't that prove that I was protesting? I didn't think I needed to lodge a formal protest. I thought it was obvious to you that I walk through your property every day. Obviously, I'm trying to say this is mine, okay? Which is obviously a complicated argument. The other way of reading it is, meaning I was abroad for 3 years. And that's why I didn't protest, okay? I was far away. It's like the opposite. One is saying you were right there, and the other is saying he was far away. Okay, a lot of the Gemaras, from what I remember from learning Bava Batra years ago, that a lot of the Gemaras in this parak can be interpreted in totally opposite and different ways. Like sometimes each line could be interpreted many, many ways. So Ata legabeta Rav Nachman, they go before Rav Nachman. Amarle zil bror achilatcha. Okay, so what do they say? Again, it's a little depends how you say this, right? So go prove. So the guy who lived there has to prove. Either that the guy never protested, if he says I was far away, the guy has to prove that he saw him one day in the neighborhood within the 3 years, and the guy didn't protest, okay? So you'd have to prove something like that. If the guy was inside, then what's the proof? I guess he would just have to prove that he was here for 3 years and the guy didn't lodge a protest. I don't know, it's a little more, to remember what they said according to that interpretation, okay? But basically they're saying the burden of proof lies on the guy who is living there, okay? He has to prove that he has a chazaka. Now, what's the problem with saying that? Right, according to this, they say, the note here says that you have to prove that you lived here without the guy walking through your house or without him, you know, seeming to lodge any sort of protest. Okay, the reason why there's many different interpretations here is because it's a difficult text to understand, right? It's hard to figure out what exactly the case is and hard to figure out what exactly the argument is.
In any case, Amar Le Rava, Hachi Dina, that's what you're going to say the halacha is, Rav Nachman? Hamotzi Mechavero Alav Haraya. Who's got the proof here?
The guy
who's living in the land right now, because he's living there. We always say, if you want to remove someone, you have to go prove it. So why does the burden of proof, in other words, Rav Nachman says the burden of proof lies on the guy who's living there right now. And Rava says, why are you putting the burden of proof on him? The proof should go on the other guy, okay? The guy who claims that he owns the land, he has to go prove that, okay? And the next thing we're going to see tomorrow is that Rava here contradicts some statement he said somewhere else, and Rav Nachman here contradicts a statement he said somewhere else.